Lord, we ask that you would come into our presence today. We know that you're already here, but help us, Lord, to come into your presence. Your presence is already here, but many times we don't enter in. Many times we've got too many things that are on our mind. Many times we forget how vital it is that we come into the very presence of God and seek your face, to know you, to laugh with you, to love with you. Father, I just pray that as we minister today, that we would come into a renewed zeal for prayer, for speaking to you and listening from you and hearing your words to us. Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' name and all God's people say. Amen. You may be seated. Felt like I needed to share something that was on my heart. It's always on my heart because I believe without this, there is no touch from God. Without this, there is no wisdom or knowledge from God. And what I want to talk about today is communing with God. Don't go real far. Oh, you're not going to go real far. You're going to sit right over here. Right? I know you always do. Because I'm going to share something. I'm going to have you do something. I always tease a little bit when sometimes we'll have a whole group that will go to a wonderful conference and they'll come back and they'll share about how wonderful it was and how great it was. And sometimes I'll tease their traditionalists. I'm just trying to have fun, and because I'll tell you, I can worship to anything. I can worship to anything. I can worship to hymns. I can worship to contemporary songs. I can worship to kiddie songs. There's a time when everywhere I'd go, I'd take my guitar and I'd play, and we'd play "Jesus Loves the Little Children." And I love doing this. I'll do this over at the Heritage every once in a while. You know, I'll say, okay, we're going to sing this really, really important hymn of the church. You know, and I'll get them all psyched up to hear something really good. And then all of a sudden, "Jesus loved the little," and they all laugh and just have such a good time. And I just want to let them know, you know, you can worship to anything. You can worship to anything. But anyway, when I was teasing a little bit, because I said, how was the speakers? No, they were really good. You know, they shared, well, what did they talk about? And I, you know, get into some of that. And then I said, well, how was the music? Oh, music was absolutely wonderful. And it was happened to be one of the people who really loves hymns. And so I said, oh, well, then they sang a lot of hymns then. And she said, no, it was all contemporary. I mean, all contemporary. No, I didn't say it like that. But I was just teasing a little bit, because you know what? You can worship. It can be great with contemporary music. It can be great with hymns. I've had hymn sings that were fantastic. And so it's just one of those things that, you know, the church has always battled with, is contemporary versus traditional. Let me just tell you something. We believe in both. We believe in both. And we're going to have a lot of contemporary, because that's the way of the new world. If you go to a lot of conferences, you're going to hear contemporary. But guess what? You also will hear some hymns in there. And they do them in such a way that is so beautiful and so God-given. So we're going to do some of those too. And so I'm going to do one of those right now. And that's where I'm going to ask Ann if you'd come back to the piano. Just Ann is fine. And I'm not sure what key this is. It's called "In the Garden." You know that one? I know you can just right off the top of your head. What key is that? Is D better or is G better? Huh?
Player, everything's in D and G for guitar. In the hymn, it's in A flat.
Well, we aren't playing in A flat.
Oh, you don't want it there? Okay, we'll go in G then.
We'll go to G.
We'll go in G.
No, I see. It doesn't matter because I'm not playing. Because if I was playing guitar, I'd say there is no such key as A flat on the guitar.
Yeah, guitarists don't like flats.
You got to capo up or something to get that. But no, good guitarists can do that. They can play in whatever key. But I'm not a good guitarist, so we'll just play it in G. Okay.
You want verses or just the chorus?
Just the first verse and the chorus. And I'm going to sing, and I want you to sing with me. Okay, this is "In the Garden." It's a beautiful hymn of the church. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with worshiping to those hymns, but there's a message in there, and it's in the first verse that I want us to get today, okay? Just sing with me. I come to the garden alone. Why?
Son of God is clothed
on the chorus.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy.
On the chorus, one more time.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tell.
Absolutely gorgeous. Bring you into the very presence of God. And I love this song here because, you know, it when it talks about coming to the garden, it's coming to talk with God and to be with God and to walk with God and to share with God. It's not just saying, come to the garden so you can get your needs met. How many of you know that it's wonderful to come to the garden and get your needs met? It's wonderful to come to the garden and ask God, what do you want me to do? It's wonderful to come to the garden and begin to get instructions or get wisdom or get understanding. But you know what? It's sometimes it's wonderful to come to the garden just to come to the garden and be with God. And a lot of times we think of prayer, when we start talking about prayer, we think of, well, I'm going to go in and get my needs met. I'm going to go in and ask God for this, or I'm going to go in and ask God for that. And that's okay. I just don't go with the wrong idea. It's wonderful to do that, but sometimes that's all we do is when we think of prayer, we think of, well, coming and getting God's needs, getting my needs met. And God tells us to do that. You know, if we need, ask. So it's great to do that. Boy, I need some water. It's great to do that, but that's not all we need to do. In fact, that even isn't even the most vital thing in prayer. That's a part of prayer. And we get to this idea that praying is about reciting some kind of a prayer. I went to a church for years and years and years, all most of my life, and prayer wasn't about talking and communing with God. It was about reciting some kind of a prayer. We do it every week, and this is one of the reasons why when we do it, a lot of times I will make mention, let's do this as we're speaking to the Lord, because it can become rote. It can be something that, well, this is just what we do. Well, let's just do this and get this out of the way. Yeah, thank you. I'd love that. You know, after I let my vocal cords hit those high notes, got to get some water in there, right? Prayer is so vital to the Christian life, and many times we don't even use it for what it's for. Prayer, many times, is just coming to God and saying, God, I love you. God, I care about you. God, Father. And speaking in detail many times, oh, Lord Jehovah, you're the great healer. You're so wonderful. I just want to tell you how great you are. You're the great provider. Oh, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua Jesus, the Lord God. You're with us always. You're so wonderful. And many times it's just spending time with God, spending time with Him, and ministering, you know, being ministered to just by being in His presence. And a lot of times we don't do that. We need to meet with God simply just to commune with Him, simply just to have time with Him. And just love on Him and let Him love on us. And we don't do that many times. We think of prayer as, well, it's our time on Sunday to recite something. Or we think of prayer as, well, that's my time to ask God. A lot of times we don't talk to God unless we're in trouble. We get in trouble or something happens and we have a need. And so then we'll pray. Does anybody relate to this at all? But see, it's far more important that we spend time just to meet with Him. Because in the meeting with Him, we get our needs met. Just in meetings, sometimes we don't even have to ask. You know, he says in one place where he's talking to his disciples, he says, you know what, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they pray, and they think they're going to get answered simply by their many words that they speak. See, they've got a wrong idea of prayer. Prayer is actually talking with God. Think of it in your own family. Think of it in your spouse. If all I did was talk to my wife whenever I wanted something, wouldn't be, you know, the conversation would be pretty thin, wouldn't it? Be pretty weak. And a lot of times that's how we treat God. Why is it sometimes we don't get our prayers met? I don't think it's because God doesn't want to meet our needs. I think he absolutely wants to meet our needs. But sometimes we only come to God when we have a need, and we don't come to God on a regular basis as if we love him and as if we know him, as if we really care about him. And so I'm going to look at a couple things. We're going to go to a scripture. And this is a scripture that we all know. Go to the book of Matthew and the 22nd chapter. I want us to learn to communicate. And communication should happen on a daily basis. I remember reading about Martin Luther. Does everybody know who Martin Luther is? Martin Luther was a Catholic monk, actually. And he ended up protesting some of the policies of the Universal Catholic Church at that time. And he wrote what was called the 95 Thesis on the church door. And he wrote that, actually didn't write it on the church door. I'm going to back up a little bit. He wrote it on the church bulletin board outside. All it was a bulletin board. Everyone could put their little thesis up there, and he put his thesis up there and tagged that to the bulletin board. And he got in a lot of trouble for that. And he actually became one of the first starters of the Protestant church. But a lot of things he was protesting was this idea that we had to go through other people to pray, or we had to say certain prayers so many times to get our sins forgiven. And what Martin Luther would say he would start talking about his need for prayer, and he would say things like, I'm so busy today, I have to pray 3 hours so that I can make sure I can get it done. Well, I'm just going to tell you something. That's just nutty, all right? I'm not going to get up 3 hours. Martin Luther, maybe he could get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray for 3 hours before everyone else got up. But I like what this other guy said. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. He said, you know what? I rarely pray more than 30 minutes a day, or 30 minutes. But I rarely go 30 minutes without praying. Because what he was talking about was it's a daily walk. A daily communication, meeting with God and communing with him, so that by the time, you know, a year is up of daily communication, you've come to the place where you actually know him just like you know your own self. There's a lot of times someone will say something, does God love this or does God like this? And I automatically will know if God likes it or not, because I've spent time with him. And I know what he knows. And I know what he's told me about things. It's a daily walk and a daily communication. In Matthew 22, I'm going to start with the 34th verse. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "This is the great commandment in the law. The first one is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And I want us to just break that down and unpack that just a little bit. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now I'm going to ask you to look inwardly for just a moment. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Amen. Well, I heard one amen, and then I think I heard another amen right after that. Or I didn't hear it, but I saw it. Is that it? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. Let me just tell you something. And I use my wife a lot because it so illustrates God's love towards me. When I first met my wife, I was really infatuated with her, really. And as I got to know her, I fell in love with her, and she fell in love with me, I think. I remember there were times when I would call her all the time. I would be on there and see how she's doing, and she would call me, and we would we'd contact each other every day. We couldn't do it all the time because I had to work, she had to work, but we would contact each other. And the love of God was just through our relationship, because I always wanted to be with her. I always wanted to be around her, you know, and she wanted to be with me, and she wanted to be around me. And you say, well, that kind of dies. No, it just gets thicker as you get older, because now I can't hardly do anything without her calling me. Or she can't hardly do anything without me finding out where she's at. We still contact each other every day. Where you at? I've heard that one so many times. I'll be doing something, and it's, where you at? And I'm thinking, well, why do you want to know? Well, because we've got a relationship of communion that has taken place over the course of a lifetime that now it's unthinkable that we would not know where we're going or what we're doing or where we're at any time. That is the difference between having a knowledge relationship and having a heart-love relationship. That heart-love relationship wants to know what's going on, wants to hear from the other person. And see, God is no different. He loves you just like you love your spouse, only deeper and richer. And sometimes we treat him like he's not even someone we know, because we don't pray. Praying is not reciting a poem. It's not. And if that's all you've got for prayer, you need to re-examine that. If all you've got for prayer is during dinner time, you'll pray this. Pass the cheeks, over the tongue. Look out stomach, here it comes. In Jesus' name. You know, and we always end up everything in Jesus' name. In Jesus. I want you to remember that phrase, in Jesus' name. Because you know what? What we think in Jesus' name means is period. You know, that's okay, prayer's over. In Jesus' name. And we're not really connecting with God. We're not really communing with God. See, God wants us to commune. Jesus was the first one up in the morning, last one to go to bed. Why? Because he spent time with the Father. He would go spend time with the Father. I don't think in any way he would go and pray the Our Father 10 or 15 times in the morning. No, what would he do? He would go and he would talk to him. He would go in and say, God, Father, I love you. See, there's a thing about prayer that goes beyond asking for things. And it's a communion prayer. It's a love relationship that has to be developed. And I want to give you two things I want you to think about in this love relationship of communing with God and talking with God. And it comes out of this. The first one is, I love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Is when you pray, do you ever just love God and just tell him that you love him? Or does all your prayers start with asking for something? And that's all you do is ask. Because a true love relationship begins by love. And he says, this is what, if you really love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, then you're going to want to see me every day. You're going to want to be with me every day. You're going to want to come into my presence every day. Just like a new, you know, in love person who loves their spouse is going to want to know where they're at every day. What's they're doing? How was your day? You know, how's things going? Do you hate me today? Why are you looking like that at me today? Because we want to know what's going on in them. We want to see what's going on. Why? Because we love them. We care about them. We want to give our lives to them. But do we do that for God? Have you ever gone into the presence of God and got, God, what is it you would have me do today? What is it, you know, God, I love you. I don't have anything to ask. If you want to show somebody that you love them, commune with them without asking for something. That's one of the first points. I went down to Evansville, Indiana, and my nephew has a Bible study that he has there, and he invited me to come and talk to some of the guys that was in his Bible study. He was in that big Bible study with, who was that? We did a Bible study on his on the pastor's son. I can't remember who it was, but anyway, it was the father who is the pastor of the church down there, and I can't remember. We did this Bible study. I'll figure it out later. But we went to there, and I went to his men's group, and we were talking, and we got onto this idea of, I'm going to say the word, sex. All children gone. Children in here. Oh, we got one child. Should be okay. On the idea of sex is what the subject came up. Because they were wondering, they were trying to develop their relationship with their loved one. And one of the things that came up is, you know, how do I get my wife to respond better to me? You know, and everyone would come. Trent just piqued his interest up real quick. Like, I'm waiting. Buy her a diamond ring. That's what you do. No. So they, and there's a lot of discussion. And then they looked at me because, you know, I was a pastor. And what do you think? What do you say? And I said, you know what? I really got the answer for you, but I don't think you want to hear it. I got the answer for it. And they go, well, what do I do? Don't expect to get anything. Well, isn't there something I can do to get her to respond? Yeah, there is, but you don't want her to respond that way. You don't want to entice somebody that way. This is, you want to get her to respond better to you in all areas of life, regardless of whether it's a sexual relationship or an emotional relationship. You want to get her to respond better. Do things for her that show that you love her, and then don't expect anything back. And do it over and over and over again. You mean just do something and not expect anything back? That's right. And you keep doing that. And then the time will come. You'll do the same. And you just keep doing it. You know, and then we got into this crazy, well, what if I'm in the mood? Well, what if you are? Say no to yourself. Well, that just sounds crazy. Well, let's look at it biblically. In the Bible, it says, give without expecting anything in return. Give without expecting anything in return. And then the Bible will go on and say, you know, that if you'll give like that, as you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People will give unto your bosom. You know, if you want people to give to you, then you give. Don't expect anything in return. See, because if you give something and you're expecting something back, you're not giving. What you're doing is investing. And it's okay to invest. I invest in things. It's okay to invest. But that's not giving. You want something back, then you're giving to get something back, you're investing. And that's not love. That's just business sense. And there's nothing wrong with business. But if you really want to show love, you give, don't expect anything back. Well, what if they don't give me anything back? Then give again, and then don't expect anything back. And then give again, and don't expect anything back. Isn't that the example that Jesus gave? He gave and gave and gave and gave and did not respect anything, didn't expect anything back. He just kept giving. The Apostle Paul, when people gave to him, he said, you know what, I appreciate your gift, but you know what, had you not given it to me, I'd have been okay, because I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And let me just tell you this. It doesn't mean that I believe you're not going to get back. I believe you will. Because the Bible does say, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure pressed down. But when we show love to other people, love is not investing. Love is giving. The investment will be given back by the Holy Spirit. God will give back the investment in the due time. So that's the first thing. And I translate that in prayer. When you go to God, stop going to God just because you want something. Instead, go to God because you just want to be with Him. I just want to be in your presence. Oh, I so want to be in His presence. I just want to sit at His feet. I don't think for a second that Mary, you know, in the story of Mary and Martha, I don't think Mary was sitting at His feet just because she could get something out of it. Jesus said, yeah, she's getting the good thing. Mary wanted to be at Jesus' feet, I believe, just because Mary loved Jesus and wanted to be at His feet. Was she getting something out of it? Absolutely. But I don't think for a second she was saying, Jesus, could you please make sure I get something good, that Martha serves me up something good to eat so I can just sit here and do nothing. That wasn't her attitude. But that was Martha's attitude. Lord, would you get her to do something for me? Would you get her to help? And He said, she's the one who wants the good thing. What's the good thing? It's to be with me. Just to be in His presence. Prayer is not always asking for things. Sometimes it's just sitting there and being with God, being with Him. When we come in and we commune with Him in that way, power will come on our life. And then when we do ask for things, we'll start seeing it happen more and more and more. Not because we ask, but because we've got a relationship of communion, of love. You know what? I can ask my wife for money or anything like that, and she's ready to give it to me. Why? Because there's a relationship. I could go to several of you and ask you for money, and probably a lot of you would be thinking, oh, here he comes asking me for money. But there's a relationship that has to be developed, and that's through prayer. Prayer and more prayer is in communion with God. That's the first thing. Second thing is when you do ask for things, what are you asking for? And it's okay to ask for things that you need. That's called a prayer of supplication. We're going to talk about prayer and the different types of prayer that are in the Bible. Prayer of supplication. We want to do that. But is that all you do is pray for what you need? Let me ask you this. When you go to God and pray and talk with Him and commune with Him, are you always asking for you? Or I'm going to twist it. I'm not going to even say ask for others. I'm going to say, do you ask what God wants? You know what? A lot of us don't ask for what God wants. You want to know why we don't ask for what God wants? Because we already know what He wants. And we don't want to hear it. Before my dad was going to take me to get my hair cut, this is back in the days when shaggy hair was the thing. All my friends had shaggy hair. And my dad was not having it because he had been in the military. And a lot of his friends were flat top men. You remember the flat top? You know the flat top because you got one right now, just about. It's not flat, but I remember the flat top where it was all shaved except the top, and it was flat on the top. It looked like Sergeant Carter, you know, on Gomer Pyle. And I remember that. And he never gave me that, but he'd always shave my head, you know. I'd always get that shaved look. And the barber was one of those guys that had the big old Marine tattoo. He was a friend of my dad because they were in the military, and they both knew each other. And he had this big old Marine tattoo on. And I'd come in, this little boy, I'd come in, and he would take me over there, and the guy would say, hop in here, young man, we're going to take care of you right now. And he would threaten to give me a flat top. You know, he's, I'm going to give you one of these. He had a flat top himself. And he'd get ready to shave my head, and I'm praying, oh God, don't make me look stupid. I already look stupid, but I was praying for him. In fact, he probably made me look normal, but he'd always do that, and I, oh, you know, just one time, maybe I should have gone to my dad and said, Dad, what haircut do you want me to get it by? Just once. But I fought him every time. It became a schism in our relationship. Because I wanted what I wanted. Instead of thinking, you know, what is it that would please my father? What is it that my dad would want? Maybe I should just give my dad what he would want for once. And go to the barbershop without crying about it, without arguing about it, without fighting about it. One time, me and my dad, we almost came to fisticuffs over what my hair was going to look like. And just once, maybe I should have said, Dad, whatever you want. Well, Rob has a flat cut up. I just see that back there, yeah. Maybe I should have just said, Dad, why don't you give me a flat top one of these times? I'm going to get a flat top. You probably would have passed out if I had said that, right? But you know what? There was always a schism between our relationship that we never really had. And a lot of days we'd go by and we wouldn't even talk. And you could tell it. Well, let me tell you this. A lot of days go by and we don't even talk to God. And when we do, we're asking for us. And we're not asking for Him. God, what do you want? You want to know why the Father always said, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know why He said that about Jesus? Because Jesus always did what the Father wanted. You know, he always, you know, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? You know, I always do what God, the Father wants. That's why Jesus pleased Him all the time. And rarely do we go to God and say, God, what do you want? And we don't because we know what He would say. He would say, I want you to love my people. I want you to stop being selfish. I want you to stop just thinking about yourself and instead think about somebody else for once. We know what He would say. The question is, are we ready to fulfill that? You get to the point where you're asking, going to God to commune with Him without asking Him anything for anything. And you go to God sometimes to go and commune with Him and say, God, what is it that you want? And you'll start seeing Him just start giving you the things that you want. He says in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will just be given. You won't even have to ask for them. They'll just be given to you. It'll just happen. See, God loves us. See, I've seen this in my children when they react to me. I've seen it in my grandchildren when they react to me. And I've recognized it in me when I reacted to my father, earthly father. And I see it when I react to God. My children wanted what they wanted when they wanted it, and they didn't care what I needed. And I saw it. Do you think I was really happy to go out there and get them a whole bunch of gifts at Christmas time? When it seemed like that's all they did at Christmas time was ask me for what they wanted. Or my grandchildren, when they just want what they want. Now they're young, they're kids, they're children. What is our excuse? They're children. You've got to teach them away from that. But what's our excuse? Why is it that we don't commune with God like that? Say, God, what do you want? God, I love you. We say it every week up here when we do take communion. I just want to sort of go there. It's out of the book of Luke, 6th chapter. When Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray. In the 6th chapter of Luke, 31st verse. I want to read this. In verse 31, he says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? for even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, lend hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Your reward will be great. You give without expecting back. Yeah, but they owe me. Well, you can hang on to that debt if you want to. And you may never get it back, paid back. But if you give it away, not expecting it back, you'll have a return of righteousness and a relationship with God that will go far beyond anything you gave up. Far beyond it. And you'll get it back in waves. Cast your bread upon the water. You'll get it back in ways. Maybe not from the person you lent it to, but from the God who saw you give it up without expecting it back. Now let's look at one more scripture, and then we're going to close. This one's not much further away. Luke 11. The disciples come and they want to know how to pray. Well, you know what they're wanting. They're wanting to know how they can get things from God. Now, they may have other motives. They may, you know, may start feeling like they want to, you know, have a relationship with God. I don't want to completely pigeonhole them. But they're wanting to know how to get things from God. They're wanting to know how to pray. How do I pray? And so I'm just going to read the first two verses. Because Jesus tells them how to pray. Now, let me just tell you, Jesus is not telling them how to recite something, and this is what you recite every time you pray. Because that's not prayer. That's not prayer, that's recitation. That's reciting. Right? Jesus said there's a lot of people that'll talk, and they'll think they're heard by much speaking. No, God is looking for a heart. He's looking for the heart. And what are you saying from your heart? And Jesus, they come to him and ask him how to pray. And so Jesus begins it like this. He says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us how to pray,' as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, 'When you pray, say,'" and what was the first thing he said was, "'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" The first thing he says, when you pray, this is how you would do it. This is a standard prayer model, okay? You would do it like this. And the first thing he says, when you pray, commune with your Father God and how much you love him, how much you respect him, how much you care about him, how much you know that he's great and wonderful, and pray because you love him. That's the first thing you do. Not the second, not the third. He does get to the point where he says, now you pray this for your supplication. Also pray that you would be found guiltless, that you would be, your sin would be forgiven. But the first thing he says is, this is what you need to do before anything happens, is tell God how wonderful he is, how great he is. And then this is the second thing he says. The first thing, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." See, this is how he prayed. He said, Father, you go to Father, Father, I love you. Wonderful, great, wonderful, hallelujah, hallowed be your name. God, what do you want of me? That's when you start communing with God. And if you'll get to the habit of doing it every day, where you go into his presence and say, God, I just thank you. I worship you. You're great. What would you have me do today? Then when you come in for a need, you've got that relationship built. Give us this day our daily bread. Sure, son. Sure, son. Me and my father had a strained relationship all our life, and it was because I never, ever, rarely, ever go to him and tell him how wonderful. Then I never, ever, rarely would go say, hey, Dad, what you need today? In fact, I can't even remember a day I went to him and said, Dad, what do you need today? What would you like for me? We talk about praying. I mentioned earlier about praying in the name of Jesus. There's two things that's given that we need to remember when we're talking about praying in the name of Jesus. Listen, I just want you to know right now, praying in the name of Jesus does not mean saying, in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. That's not praying in the name of Jesus. That's just something we do because we've gotten used to it because we're told to pray in the name of Jesus. So we'll end our prayer by saying, in the name of Jesus, amen. And it's become very rote. Can anybody relate to this? Am I relating to anybody out there? Have you ever gone to eat dinner and you said, Lord, I just ask you to bless our food. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And the last thing you were thinking of, Lord, bless my food. What you were thinking of is, amen, okay, now we can eat. Now, you can be honest, because I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you, there's times I'll go and I'll eat dinner, and I'm at a good restaurant, and I've got to really slow down, because it's my habit to go in the name of Jesus by saying, Lord, bless my food, in the name of Jesus, okay, let's eat. And you're not praying in the name of Jesus. You're just saying it. If you want to pray in the name of Jesus, two things you need to remember. If you're praying in the name of Jesus, number one, you're praying in the authority that God has given to you as a believer, as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going in His stead, in His authority. When you go out to a restaurant, you're going out as a Christian believer. You may not be thinking of it like that, but that's how God sees it. Everywhere you go, you're a representative of the kingdom of God. And when you do that, you're going out in the name that He has, in His authority. That's number one. And number two, if you're going out in the name of Jesus, you're going out with the purpose of Jesus. And not that you're not going out to have fun. I'm not saying that. But everywhere you go, you should always have the purpose of God in mind when you're doing it. Because if you have the purpose of God in mind, it will keep you from sin, from doing something you know is not pleasing to God. You go out in the authority and in the purpose of God. See, that's what Jesus did. Even when he was 12 years old and got lost, and his mother found him and the father found him, where have you been? We've been looking for you. Where have you been? But don't you know I have to be about the Father's business? Don't you know, he wasn't out playing video games or soccer or whatever games that they played then. He was out about the Father's business. Now, let me ask you this. Just look inside. And don't get convicted, but don't get condemned, okay, because God loves you. He just wants you to know is you can actually go out in His name, in His authority, and in His purpose. And when you live a life like that, God's going to give you everything. He said to His disciples, He said, you know, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. If you're going out under my authority and in my purpose, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. And what that will do is when you begin to commune with God and you start asking Him for things and you start listening to what you know He wants and you the thing, and if it's something you don't want to hear, you do it anyway, or you obey, or you say, oh, okay, we're not going to do that, or because God doesn't want that. When you begin to live that kind of life where you go and commune with Him and He tells you what, even things that you don't want to hear, you still do them, or you don't do them, however the situation is, He will begin to operate in your life to when you do need something, and when it is of His will, and when you do pray in His name, under His authority, and by His purpose, it will be done for you by the power of God. But we've got to get in the habit of prayer as a communion with God, not just a way to fill our wish lists. Because there's a lot of things I wish. And there's a lot of things that God doesn't want me to have. And I haven't gone to God to ask for them because I already know he doesn't want me to have them. So I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste God's time. But there are things that I know he does want from me, and he wants from you, he wants from all of us. Let's go in and ask him for it. Father, I worship you. I ask you to bless us. Help me, Lord. Help me to commune with you. To just come and love on you. Come and care about you. Operate in your purpose. Operate in your authority. Come and just ask, what do you want from me, Lord? What would you have me do? Lord, I ask, you teach me to commune with you. Teach me to commune with you. Fall in love with you. So that when we sing that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, that hymn that we love to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, we really mean it. We really believe it. Lord, let us come to the garden to be with you. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song. If you need prayer, give you the opportunity to respond.